Chief, Gosfalcha, Gian Clark, coming, Luke, Class, Gail, and Shock, the Nishaw, Tom Comick, as usual, here on a Wednesday night, and I'm here at 9 o'clock. And I'm delighted to say I have two very special guests in studio with me tonight, two All Ireland winners, our former All Star corner forward, Colin McFadden, and, well, I suppose one of the best defenders that never won an All Star, Eamon McGee, joined me. Of course, both of them have retired from the inter county scene. Well, they've announced their retirement, I suppose. It doesn't take effect until next season. But first of all, Colm and Eamon, a very good night to you, and you're very welcome. I'm really delighted to have you.
Cheers, Tom. Thank you.
Thanks,
Tom.
Did you
bring along the All-Ireland medals? No, you didn't. No,
anyway, I don't know where it is.
Anyway, Eamon, before we get down to business, as I mentioned there, never to receive an All-Star award. Is that something that bothers you or disappoints you? I know I have my own theories on why you didn't, but...
Listen, on a personal level, it disappoints you surely, and... You know, anybody that hasn't won an All-Star is supposed to say it's all about the team now, but just from my own point of view, I'd love to have been able to say I was the best in that position, and probably, you know, at least I ran it close. But the most important thing was that I had the admiration and respect to the boys, the teammates, and that was the main thing. And if I'd won an All-Star, that was a bonus. Yeah. But it's obviously a disappointment, but... Yeah. As long as Colm McFadden thought I was a good cornerback, then I was happy enough.
I think you were certainly deserving one in 2014 or whatever other years. I have a theory actually that they mixed up the two McGees at some stage, and that's not saying Neil wasn't deserving one either.
But happens a lot. That happens a lot. That they mix us up, all right?
Bank accounts and everything.
No,
Colm, and tell me, was it a big decision or was it something you've been thinking about for a while, retiring?
I think Tom at the end of it was an easy enough decision to make. You know, you often heard players saying it when they retired that it was an easy decision to make, and I always thought it wouldn't be but I probably knew at the start of the winter or last winter there that this would be my last year, and it's probably it's easy now at the minute, but it's probably next year whenever the championship comes along that'll miss it.
And I'm sure the three Ulster titles in All-Ireland and All-Star makes it a good bit easier, and a very good innings for any, by any standard, for a Donegal footballer.
Ah, definitely. And I was blessed to be around with such a great bunch of lads, and I think we're all lucky that Jim McGuinness came along when he did. And there's a lot of good players and good teams played for Donegal over the years, and weren't lucky enough to win one Ulster. I think looking back now that we've three Ulsters and an All Ireland medals.
Played in six finals. Played in six in a row. You played in more actually, didn't you?
Six finals. I think there might have been three before that we lost as well, but. It's funny how somebody said there recently about Patrick McBurdy. He's played for 6 years. He's played in six Ulster finals in a row. And it's some going now. And it was good to be there knocking on the door all the time.
Eamon, same question to you. Was it something that you were contemplating, or was it just the spur of the moment thing? Or
No, it's definitely something I've chatted about, and probably it's just been tougher to go again this last few years. And you know, someone asked me, would you have another year? I probably would have another year to play at that level, but I just felt it was the right time. I'm going out on my own terms, and no one's telling me, no, you're better off retiring him, and or I was playing relatively well.
Better to retire than be retired.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've talked to the people around me and people that matter, and it was just a good decision for me, and, you know, I'll always be about Jay, and I've hopefully now devote a bit of that time to the club down home, down Gidore, and you know, there's other parts of
Well, of course, the good thing is neither of you retire from football, you're going to be still playing club football.
Yeah, well, that's it, you know, and that's an important part that we're able to give back, because the way it is nowadays that clubs are nearly punished for having county players, and Gidore's kind of suffered quite a bit because I think we've six now, and they invested a lot of coaching hours, they have a lot of manpower, and you know, and it's good to be able to give back now a wee bit.
Is that something that bothers you when you're a county player, you know, because people say sometimes, you know, county players can be selfish and they only worry about themselves and the county team, and they're not worried about club football?
No, definitely we would love to be able to play. I think Colin would agree that he would love to be able to play with the club and devote it as much time as we do to the county, but the way the calendar's set up, it's just not feasible, and it's we have a life outside of football too, that if you were to devote everything to football, you're going to suffer yourself. So it's just the way the calendar is, and I think it's something that the GAA seriously have to take a look at. going down there, which is just not sustainable at all the way it is at the minute.
Yeah. Well, Colm, what, 14 years in the Donegal jersey, senior, when was the first one? What was
First one, I think I came on as a sub, as a National League game against Dublin, Parnell Park, I think.
That was probably 81, 82, was it, or 80? Sorry, 2000.
81, that's Christy Dye.
Sorry,
that's Christy Dye. That's Christy Dye. No, I think it was 2000 and... 2001, yeah. 2002, probably.
Yeah.
2002
yeah.
League, yeah.
Yeah, and you started then in the championship in 2002 as well, didn't you?
No, I was only coming on as a sub that year.
Yeah.
2003, then I got my first championship start. Fermanagh beat us in the back door that year, or beat us in the first round of Ulster, and then I think we played Longford in the back door.
Yeah. You got a good run that year then, didn't they? Yeah. Castlebar, wasn't it?
That was the year. We go to the All-Ireland semi-final
that
year.
That's right. Yeah. And Eamon, you were a couple of years later, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think I came into the squad in 2003 and played in the 2004 season. And the boys had been in, I think, a year or two before me. We'd have been played around underage teams together now, so it was 2003, 2004.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose when we look back on the last, 6 or 7 years, I suppose we can divide your both of your careers into two halves, you know, pre-2011 and since 2011.
Yeah, it's definitely two. There's two parts, I suppose, a couple of barren years at the start, but...
And in a way, they were barren, but yet, you know, you were there, getting to the finals, weren't you?
Yeah.
Won a National League,
There was a good team there and very good players, and... We're probably unlucky during those noughties. There's Tyrone and Armagh were at their peak, two brilliant teams. We were fit to beat Tyrone maybe one season, but not fit to get the better of Armagh. And then likewise, we beat Armagh in 2007, but then we came up short against, I think it was Monaghan, actually knocked us out that year. We're unfortunate, we're in such a tough province, probably, but it was three Ulster finals that time. I think in fairness Armagh beat us well, each of them.
Mm. Yeah, because there was all the Donegal players, they would walk on to any Sigerson team. We'd won some in Sligo, Colm had won some in Galway, and there was brilliant players, but it was just, I think it was you're running against two brilliant teams at the time, and we were getting beat, and after getting beat so many times it kind of gets to you, and probably.
Is it fair to say you weren't taking it as serious though?
Well, there was that in it too. There was that side of things too, you know, the pre-gym that we didn't realise.
Well, we probably thought we were taking it serious at the time, when Jim came in, you know, with the help of probably Michael Murphy and Paddy McGrath as well, driving things on, they took things to a new level, the training was upped, we got fitter, and just our whole attitude changed. But probably prior to that, we probably thought we were doing the right things, and we're just wondering where we come up short, but looking back now,
but there was
obvious.
Good times, there was fun times, wasn't there?
Oh, it was good out crack sometimes, and you know,
I think there's fun times since 2011 too.
That's the funny thing about where we take it very, very seriously too, but we've also had a lot of good times. And
was the fun better pre 2011 or since 2011?
I don't know, really.
2011, I think definitely. you're definitely more fun when you're winning games and winning championships.
Celebratory drinks are more sweet when you have a medal in your back pocket, you know. So it's
And what was the attitude to Jim when he did come in? You know, because I know speaking to Rory Cavanagh here when he retired 2 years ago, you know that you know he given that Jim had been part of the team in your earlier part of your career, you know, it took time to take on board where this man was coming from and what he was bringing and the message.
I think it was, you know, probably obvious from he worked with Glenties in 2005, and we've seen him working with the under-21s in 2010, and it was obvious what he was bringing to the table. He knew he had something extra, and it was just at that time when Jim came in, he was getting a bunch of footballers that were hungry for success and were prepared to do anything, prepared to work as hard as possible. He's probably lucky that we're such a hungry bunch, and whatever he asked of us, we were prepared to do.
So despite all the defeats, you know, to Armagh and to Armagh particularly in Ulster finals, you still felt and still wanted to drive on, you know, because there was a feeling that maybe that team was spent and Jim was going to have to build a new team.
Yeah, well, I remember it being said a few times. I think we were only. Well, I was 25, 26, and they were saying that we're spent and it's time to move them boys on. But I was thinking maybe I'd look a wee bit older, but I think I have a couple of years left me yet. But I remember around that time, me and Kevin were in the gym, like, and we were chatting, and we were just saying we would do anything to be successful in Ulster, to win an Ulster medal, and all we want would train twice a day, three times a day. We just wanted somebody to come in and guide us and tell us what to do, and we were prepared to do it.
I probably just didn't realise there was just another level to it, and it took Jim had been about, and he knew
you've been
himself.
In Tralee, yeah. And he's particularly obviously Kerry, you're doing it all nice and quietly for centuries, never mind
exactly.
Or decades.
And he knew what that level was and what required to got there. And as Colm says, all we needed was someone to say, this is what you need to do. And
was there a shock to the system initially in terms of the physical demands?
It was take one, all right. We were, I came into the squad later on the season, and it was like me and Paddy McBurdy came in around May time, and I struggled, or I thought I was fit like at the time, but I struggled, and you know, there was a few tight nights there where you just questioned like, geez, what's this all about, like.
And there was the early mornings as well, wasn't there, the gym sessions? And
well, I didn't mind that. I never mind getting up early and doing all that. There was just the running. I couldn't hike the run at all, where you know, you really had to push yourself, and there was no hiding spot either. Like, you just, Jim knew what to look out for, and it was just, that's where I struggled, was in the running.
Yeah, and how did you get on the running, Colm?
Oh. Colm was always beside me.
I always accompany my Eamon here down the back, but I was tough. I remember that year I got married that year, I was away in Thailand on honeymoon for 2 weeks, and I came back, and the boys had a bit of work done when I was away, but it was tough, like. But we were young at the time, and you recovered quickly. You could recover quick, you'd get two nights off and you'd go again, and every single night was tough, but you walked off the field knowing the other 29 boys in the panel had the same effort and same commitment, and I think that's where we created a great bond, was on that training field. Doing those tough sessions together, like, you know, knowing that every man was putting a shoulder to the wheel.
Tata McGeirson, Clash and Clark, come with Luke Draskin, a shock to the show to meet Tom Cormack. My special guests tonight in studio are the recent retired Eamon McGee and Colm McFadden, of course, two Donegal stalwarts and All Ireland winners. And well, I seen where Jim McGuinness said in his column last week, and last Tuesday, was it in the Irish Times, that Donegal wouldn't have had enjoyed the success that they did without these two men. And well, you mentioned earlier, Colm and Eamon, both that Tyrone was one of your great rivals, and I'm delighted to say, have on the phone, maybe put on your headphones there for a moment, have a man that both of you soldiered against, and I'm sure have part of the Mutual Admiration Society as well, Conor Gormley. Conor, good night to you.
Yeah, good to see you, yeah.
And tell me, Colm, you would probably came up against Colm McFadden more than maybe you came up against Eamon McGee, but certainly Colm certainly was a man to put the fear of God into her own defence every time you played Donegal.
Ah, definitely so. I suppose I had an odd chat there with Eamon as well. No time, you know.
All very friendly, well. Conor.
sorry, friendly chat. Yeah, but I had, the pleasure of marking Colm an odd time too, definitely, and one of the toughest forwards ever marked. You know, he caused many a sleepless night in Tyrone, and those when we sat down in our team meetings when we were playing Donegal, this was. He was targeted as one of the main threats that Donegal had, and Mickey Hart laid him out as one of the top forwards, so it sort of speaks volumes when Mickey sees him as a top forward. It just speaks volumes for what he thought of it, and what and Tyrone thought of him, you know. So a great player, I suppose. Two big losses there to Donegal in the future.
Yeah, and what was it about him? What was his strengths?
Well, I suppose one of his strengths was he was very strong on the ball. He was quick off the mark as well, and I suppose being a forward there, he was a good eye for a score. Like, he could probably could score from any position on the field or nearly any angle, you know. And I think he maybe scored against Clonus one good day. He scored maybe 1-3 or 1-4 against the Tyrone team.
I think it was 1-7, Conor.
1-7, I'd be all.
I think Conor's on that day. Yeah.
You were the fire brigade that day, were you?
I don't know about that. I think we needed maybe 3 or 4 men on him that day. He was in top form that day, you know. So. He stuck up a good partnership there with Michael Murphy, and then I suppose it was Patty McBurdy coming on the scene there late too, so they were definitely a forward line to be reckoned with, and it caused us many a heartache and many a day.
Yeah, and kind of you would have played against them when maybe they weren't as dangerous, maybe and maybe not taken as seriously as well.
You know, I suppose in Tyrone we always respected Donegal what they'd done, and when you have a forward line like that, we'll go out and we'll give our best. And I suppose the last number of years, they got the upper hand on Donegal there, you know. So with forwards, the caliber of that, and again, the system they played on the Donegal, on the Jim and McGuinness, they were hard to break down. But if it was for me a pleasure to be marking players of Colm's stature and Colm's ability, and that was just great to be playing them games, you know.
And tell me about those conversations with Eamon McGee, because I know he probably put the fear of God in some of your forwards.
Oh, he definitely did. All right, maybe the conversations would be not repeatable on air, I don't think, you know. Probably just getting to know each other very, very well, you know. It'd be pleasant stuff.
Yeah, well, look,
I didn't
at Connor.
Mean any of it anyway. Connor just so clear in that.
Sorry,
I didn't mean any of it anyway, Connor.
No, it's all taken on good crack. Yeah, good.
Look at Connor. We really appreciate you joining us, and the best of luck. And I know Carrickmore getting ready for this championship, as are Gwydor and St Michael. So who knows? I might meet an Ulster semi final. One of them.
If it was all been well, would be great. All right, aye. So I want to wish the two boys all the best in retirement, and hope they enjoy it. And
cheers, thanks,
Connor.
Thanks,
Connor. All the best, man.
Cheers.
Okay, thank you. That's Conor Gormley there. He was a pretty good defender in his day too, wasn't he?
He was the best about, like, and probably someone we looked up. We can say it now when we're tired. That is someone that we looked up to and viewed as one of the best about, like, and that's where he needed to be, and that's where.
A great competitor as well, wasn't he?
He was brilliant. He used to play centre half back, like, and he was excellent out there. Literally years, then he came into full back and he used to man mark me. But in fairness to him, I don't think he was marking me that day. I got 1-7 against her. Just to clarify that. But
What do you think? Sorry.
What is it? Was his neck or?
Point of view. When you hear somebody like that, you know, because everybody thinks Tyrone and Donegal hate each other and they're terrible rivals, you know, but. It's all in the field, isn't it?
I think it's all in the field. You often see it, like, whenever boys are finished up or after the game, it'll be all good crack and all good fun, and there's good respect between different teams there.
Yeah.
And Eamon, obviously you're not going to divulge any of those conversations, even the edited versions.
No.
Any good tales to tell about Tyrone and Donegal?
None that could be told live on air now, but no, it was just the thing too, it's important to say that. Like, we did, there was a good rivalry there and probably got a bit heated at times, but, like, we always respected each other and, you know, we're all Gaels and we're all J people, so it's important now that, you know, we can chat about it, and, like, we'll meet Connor up about Dublin some night now. And we'll
Coppers.
Maybe not Coppers.
You're getting
now,
too old for Coppers.
Yeah, but no, we'll chat about them, and, you know, there's that respect that'll always be there. Like.
And isn't that the great thing about it? You know, isn't that the great thing about the GA? You know, that you can go anywhere and you're probably recognised now when you go everywhere in other counties, other areas of the country, and, you know, you can strike up conversations, and I'm sure you will in time form relationships with those players.
It's a good thing about the J that you're able to do that, you know, and probably the one good thing is that we're all part of just one big family, like, and there's that connection. You can go over even as far as New York and you have that J connection and that respect for each other, and it's just one good thing about it.
Yeah. Thought to a guest of this and Clark coming Luke Class Gale and a shock to this to go for a quick ad break. Father Rash, could you and Clark coming Luke Class Gale and a shock to the show? My special guests in studio tonight are the recently retired Donegal stars Eamon McGee and Colin McFadden. And we heard from Conor Gormley there before the break. Another man obviously played a part in their football careers. Maybe, guys, you put on your headphones again. There's a man here who wants to talk to you as well. And I know it was Mickey Moran that gave you your debut, Colin, but Eamon, one man, I don't think you have to guess who gave you your debut. Brian McAniff, good night to you.
Good night, all concerned, including Conor Gormley.
Yeah, and Brian, tell me about these two boys.
They're a very special type of boy. I had them when they were very, very young. If you needed a good story, I could take I suppose, the entire programme to tell you about them all, but that's another story. They were two great boys, they were two great footballers, and that was reflected in their final success with Big Jim in 2012. They gave outstanding service to both club and county, and the amount of enjoyment I had for the couple of years I had them was to be heard, I won't say seen, but be heard to be believed. I had all sorts of late night texts long after I was even gone.
And the odd phone call as well, though. I think maybe Christy
Toy. An odd phone call, yes, winding poor old me up.
Christy Toy is a lot to answer for, Ray.
I don't know that Christy is all to blame. Now, Christy was the quietest of the bunch. But they're a great bunch of lads. I must say, I was there for 2.5 years, and I can't say that, but I enjoyed it. It was great. And Colamante inherited from Mickey Moran, and the first time I met Colamante was actually on a trip that Mickey Moran should have been on. I was county chairman, and all of a sudden, within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I became county team manager, a place I didn't want to be, I'd have to say. But did enjoy the couple of years, and it took its toll on me at the heel of the hunt, but I got great joy watching them as they evolved and grew up, and then went on to win the supreme honour for Donegal at the All-Ireland level. And I still enjoy him at Colamante here, playing for the club last Sunday, and he almost buried us with a super goal as usual. But I'm looking forward to getting down to Goodore to have a crack at Goodore now in the next couple of weeks in the league.
Yeah, and what was it about them? Because as we said here, they kind of... we had the two halves of the career. The first half, maybe, which was less successful or wasn't successful, and then Jim coming in and very successful. 6 Ulster titles, 6 finals in a row, 3-1, an All Ireland All Star award for Colm, and maybe Eamon, as I mentioned at the outset, very unlucky not to pick one up.
Well, I'd have to say, Eamon, I was very, very unfortunate not to get an All-Star award. There's no doubt about that. He'd been consistently an excellent player for Donegal. And there's no doubt about his capabilities. And I'm kind of sorry that he's stepping down. I spoke to him recently about it. I thought maybe he could have done another year centre-half-back or in a wing-half-back position further out the pitch, where I felt he could contribute even more to the Donegal side. But be that as it may, it's a long way to the championship next year, and God knows it might come a knock to his door. But it's the joy that I had with them, Tom. Like, they had given me a certain success that day when Tyrone were All-Ireland champions with 14 men. Colm Matthew scored a goal in 7. Never to be forgotten. But unfortunately, then in the Ulster final, we didn't come up to scratch against Armagh, who seemed to be the bogey team for both Mickey Moore and myself. At that particular time, we were unfortunate. Don't forget, Tom, we played Armagh, who were All-Ireland champions, and Tyrone, who were All-Ireland champions, and they put our ball about. You know, because, you know, there were some very good displays when we beat Kerry and Ballymafay, beat Hammer, Cork and Ballyshannon. People are inclined to forget about those. And the day we went to Castlebar to dethrone Galway, who had been the All-Ireland champions 2 years before. So they were good times, but they're only evolving as a team. Brian McIver took them a stage for them, took a National League out of them, and then Jim done the ultimate and brought them to glory, and fair play to them. But the football was always in them, and they were always good, strong players as well. Has been very good club men. That's what I like most of all about the lads concerned.
I know you were on good Donegal teams. You managed, obviously, the one team that you always talk about is that 92 team, and you managed them to a couple of Ulster titles as well. Were they the best team ever, this Donegal team?
Well, you know, I've been many times. I travel a lot on the road. I'm actually just back from a very sad occasion. Frank McFeely's wife was dead, and went up to Portraic McShea for a quick run to Dublin to see Frankie and his 5 daughters. But, you know, it's very, very hard, because I sat down on a few occasions and travelling up and down to Dublin and picked a team between the 92 team and the 2012 team. And whether there was 7-1 or 8-0, it was very hard to speculate. Maybe it'd be a good thing for the programme. Maybe take a look at it someday. But it's very hard, Tom. Different football.
Well, I hope Eamon McGee and Colm McFadden were on the team.
Well, no.
Did we make it, Brian?
I don't think it'd be too far away.
That's a real political answer.
You'd have a tight job when you take a look at Barry McGowan, Noel Haggerty, and John Joe Doherty.
That'd have been the first sub on.
And then Colm Matney, the tough job, but it's his current team manager, Declan Boner, and Manus Boyle on the far side. They're great players. You know, to Tom, it's very hard, really, to speculate on it, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Look at
Brian. Unfortunately, the clock is ticking on us, and thanks a million for joining us, no more than Conor Gormley. We're delighted to have you. Anyway, boys, as we said, you're going to have to tell us a good story or two, or good friendships and good fun stories. You're going to have to tell us at least one, Eamon.
No, I'll let Colm tell the one that we got Big Neil Gatter with the cat food on the back of the bus. Do you remember that?
What was that?
Usually McGee tells the stories, but I think we're on the way to a National League game, weren't we?
Yeah.
Down, and we're going through Sligo, and we stopped in the shop. And
Big Neil's renowned for putting his hand in and stealing. Like, he never buys any sweets, but he takes the sweets, like. And
Christy bought a paper this day, and I in the shop, and when he back out, there's a wee packet of food stuck to the paper.
Aye.
And it was cat food. So Ty opened the cat food, and I pretend there's a bag of crisps, and Big Neil just, as usual, reaches across.
With the hand in.
With the hand in.
Starts munching.
The cat food, probably the Kit Kat.
Cat food.
Where's the lad? He wants the lad to come back for a second handful.
Oh well, we better stop at that. We better get Neil in to defend himself. Anyway, as we said, concentration on club football, obviously, and you know, looking forward to it. Colm, St Michael's, Gweedore, both two teams, you know, talking about championship. Or when you talk about the Donegal championship, you're looking at both of them. And I know, Eamon, you said, I know you were very involved with underage football in Gweedore some years ago, maybe less so in recent times, because we're so unfortunately, lads, we have to go, Eamon. The time is up. My thanks to Eamon McFadden and to Eamon McGee. Didn't get that, but at least Neil Gallagher got the cat food. To Marty Freeland Sound as well, Conor Gormley and Brian McNiff, thank you as well. Good evening, Shocklin, Hogan, Slán agus Bannock.